The processional hymn 136, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist cry announces that the Lord is nigh. This is the second Sunday in Advent. By tradition, we observe this as Bible Sunday. And also, we focus particularly on the ministry of John the Baptist as the forerunner of our Savior Christ. The service is the order of Holy Communion, beginning with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, bend the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We turn to the full form of the commandments on page 222, page 222. Hear these commandments which God has given to his people and take them to heart. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods but me. You shall not make for yourself any idol. You shall not dishonor the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy. Lord, honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not be a false witness. You shall not covet anything which belongs to your neighbor. Lord,
page 224, the Advent Penitential Kyries. Turn to us again, O God our Saviour, and let your anger cease from us. Lord, have mercy. Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Christ, have mercy. Your salvation is near for those that fear you, that glory may dwell in our land. Lord, have mercy. And the collects of the second Sunday in Advent. Father in heaven, who sent your Son to redeem the world and will send him again to be our judge, give us grace so to imitate him in the humility and purity of his first coming, that when he comes again, we may be ready to greet him with joyful love and firm faith through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15, and beginning at verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praise to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and in peace in believing, so that you may be bound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn from Thanks and Praise, number 174, Your Words to Me, Our Life and Health.
Thank you. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Matthew, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some words from today's Gospel. St. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." What does it mean to repent? What does it mean for us to turn from one's own ways and instead to go God's way? The gospel reading for today has four pairs of things from the natural world which can help thoughts, locusts and wild honey, stones and children, trees and fruit, the wheat and chaff. Verse 4 says, "Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey." Locusts were well known in Scripture. The eighth of the 10 plagues sent on Egypt in the book Exodus was the plague of locusts. In the pages of the Old Testament, locusts are a destructive power, something to be feared because of their capacity to destroy the crops on which people depended for their survival. The book of Joel, chapter 1 and verse 4, gives a hint of the devastation that locusts could cause. What the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. And what the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. John the Baptist takes insects that represent the loss of food, insects that could bring hunger and starvation, and makes them into something to eat. Locusts are said to taste like sunflower seeds or like shrimps, but having been something destructive, they are turned into something nourishing. Does repentance not mean that one takes things in the world that we may have been used to in destructive ways and uses those things for good? Look at the uses of technology, the uses of science. They can be used in very destructive ways, but they can be turned around and used for good. John also eats wild honey. In the story of Samson in the book of Judges, there is wild honey. Samson kills a lion, and bees swarm in its body. Out of the strong came something sweet, says Samson later in Judges, in chapter 14. Something found by chance becomes useful. Samson makes the most of the opportunities he is given. And like Samson, John the Baptist makes use of something he finds along the way. Does repentance mean that one should be sorry to God for not making use of the opportunities he has given? Does it mean that one should be more careful about the chances one has? Does it mean one should be open to seeing God at work in unlikely ways? John the Baptist rejects the idea that being born into a tradition is enough. In St. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham." John's words would have sounded outrageous to those who regard themselves as the chosen people, as God's elect. To suggest that God might make more from the rocks that lay around on the dusty ground than from those who had upheld the religious traditions would have offended any of those who observed every rule and regulation. The problem was that their religion had become as dry and as dead as the stones. It had become lifeless. It had become a matter of outward observance. The book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, talks of God taking away people's heart of stone and giving them instead a heart of flesh. John speaks of God raising up children, new people, people willing to learn, people who have not the hard-heartedness of those who have gone before in the ministry of Jesus. One sees him using children as an example of how his disciples should be. Children listening to the voice of their teacher are very different from the dead stoniness of the religious people. Does repentance mean that one should be sorry to God for being too often like stones? Does it mean being prepared to become like little children in order to better follow Jesus? Locusts and wild honey, stones and children. The third pair of things is trees and fruit. Again, in St. Matthew chapter 3, this time verse 10, John the Baptist says, Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. In the scriptures, the people would have heard read, trees that bear fruit are a symbol of faithful people. Psalm 1, verse 3 says, they are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The scriptures also warn them that turning away from God would mean being like a tree that bore no fruit. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 20 says, your strength shall be spent to no purpose. Your land shall not yield its produce, and the trees of the land shall not yield their fruit. The people listening to John the Baptist understood the warning he was giving. They understood that their faith demanded more than simply keeping rules and regulations. The people had gone out to John to be baptized because they wanted to change. They wanted to bear good fruit. What will it mean to be people who bear good fruit? St. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does repentance mean that one recognizes the failure to be like the fruitful trees in Scripture? Does it mean that one makes a greater effort at showing the fruits of the Spirit in one's own life? The final pair of things is wheat and chaff. Again, according to St. Matthew, John the Baptist speaks of the one who is coming. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Being the wheat and not being like chaff means being faithful. We read in Jeremiah chapter 23, let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Jesus uses wheat as a picture of faithful people when he tells the parable of the wheat and the weeds. The people would have known about the threshing floor and the winnowing fork. The wheat was within the chaff. Only when the winnowing took place were they separated. The good grain being separated from the useless chaff, the grain being stored in barns, the chaff being used on the fire. Chaff might have appeared to contain something, but was empty. They would have understood that John was warning them that it was not outward appearances that mattered, but what they were like on the inside. Does repentance mean one recognizes that one has been too concerned with outward appearance? Does it mean that inside oneself, one tries to be one of God's people? Locusts and wild honey, stones and children, trees and fruit, wheat and chaff. Each calls people to repent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
We respond to the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed on page 205. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was consecrated, and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. As we seek to prepare our hearts and our world for the coming of the Lord, let us turn to our loving Father. We pray for the church, that all who follow Christ will heed his call to repentance and be ready to greet him when he returns in glory. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our world that people will be more willing to share the earth's resources so that the basic needs of all will be met, particularly in those places where harvest yields have been poor or have been affected by natural disasters. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for ourselves that the gift of Christ's presence in the communion may be a constant reminder to us to share our lives with those we meet. We pray that we may be especially effective in giving others the opportunities of sharing in our various liturgical observances over Advent and Christmas. Lord, in your mercy, as we pray for our own parish community, we remember in particular those who are sick, troubled, or bereaved, that they will be strengthened by the knowledge of Christ's love. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for refugees, asylum seekers, and all who are far from home, that the loving mercy of God will preserve and support them. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you are our strength and our protection. Open our hearts to your grace and lead us to your kingdom. We make this prayer through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. In the tender mercy of our God, the day spring from on high shall break upon us to give light to those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering. The offertory hymn on the sheet provided, Thou art coming, O my Saviour. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. We follow the second communion prayer on page 212. And at the appropriate time, the words of the Holy, Holy, Holy may be found in the inset at the back of the prayer book. Let us pray. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. All glory and honor, thanks and praise be given to you at all times and in all places, Lord, Holy Father, true and living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is your eternal Word, through whom you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. In him the day of our deliverance has dawned. We rejoice that through him you make all things new, and we look for his coming in power and majesty to judge the world. In your great love, you gave him to be man for us and to share our common life. We turn to page 214. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Merciful Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to our Savior Christ, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his body and his blood, who on the night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as our Savior has commanded. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. We proclaim his perfect sacrifice, made known for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us in the body of your Son, and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Lord, here you have nourished us with the food of life. Through our sharing in this holy sacrament, teach us to judge wisely earthly things and to yearn for things heavenly. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit
to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, gladden your hearts, and scatter the darkness from before you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. On Wednesday in the parochial hall, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., there will be the Wednesday Club festive lunch. And at 8 o'clock on Wednesday, the bowling club meets in the parochial hall. On Thursday evening, choir practice takes place here in church at the earlier time of 7:30 p.m. Sunday next, the third Sunday in Advent, there will be no service next Sunday at 10 o'clock, but a little earlier at 9:30 a.m. there will be a said celebration of the Holy Communion. And at 3 o'clock next Sunday afternoon, there will be the traditional festival of nine lessons and carols for Christmas, with the music led by a united choir of our group of parishes and other visiting members, together with the choir of Anna Hilt Primary School. Afterwards, there will be seasonal refreshments in the parochial hall. The loose collection at next Sunday's carol service will be in favour of the Dean of Belfast's Christmas sit-out for charities, affectionately known as the Black Santa Appeal. The visiting guest of honour next Sunday afternoon will be our Deputy First Minister, Emma Little Hengele, MLA. So this is always seen as something of a favourite service in our liturgical calendar. Do please come along in support of those who have been working hard as choir members, together with the organist, in preparing for the music next Sunday. And also to welcome our various visitors, including, of course, the children, but also our guest of honour. So that's next Sunday afternoon, festival of nine lessons and carols, followed by seasonal refreshments in the hall. That's at 3 o'clock. The following Sunday, the 21st of December, there will of course be a service at 10 o'clock. It will take the form of a crib service and carols of praise with the Bailey's Mills accordion band. And again, there will be seasonal refreshments in the hall afterwards. At this time of year, we have been supporting Star Northern Ireland, which is based in the Millennium Court Arts Centre in Portadown. They are a not-for-profit community interest company providing and working with children who have been impacted
by various forms of abuse, including sexual abuse. This year at the crib service, instead of donating gifts for these children, perhaps you would like to donate the money you might otherwise have spent on a Christmas gift to the church collection. This will go directly to the running costs of Star Northern Ireland and will greatly assist the company in being kept up and running. On Christmas Eve, 24th of December, at 11:15 p.m., the first communion of Christmas will take place, and I'm delighted to say that this year the minister at Legacurry Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Mark Hawthorne, has agreed to be our preacher and will be encouraging his folk to attend as well. As some years between a vacancy in Legacurry and the fact that the new minister, as he was then, was literally only just in the door by about a week when the service took place last year. This will be his first visit, so again, I would encourage you to come and support him on his first official visit to our church, and our friends from Legacurry who may be coming with him. Family service will take place on Christmas Day at 10 o'clock. The recessional hymn 388, Word of the Living God.
Serve the Lord. And I omitted to mention that as it is Bible Sunday, there is a retiring collection for those who wish to contribute for the Bible Society of Northern Ireland.